time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
You dress as Santa Claus and spend all day with sticky, screeching children squirming atop your lap. Do you do it for the extra cash or because you secretly enjoy it?
How about a background check?
You, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, man the free ear-piercing kiosk. You pull the trigger on that piercing gun, proving you're not afraid to get a little holiday blood on your hand.
Ow! I hope that thing was sterile.
Because donning a rent-a-cop uniform and dozing in your patrol car instead of protecting patrons in the parking lot means you've got what it takes to be Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Wake up, I'm getting mugged.
So the next time you're stuck in the food court because some holiday halfwit can't locate the cash register's hold the pickles button, raise your finger in salute to Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, a real American hero.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Minimum wage, no health benefits either.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's December 22nd, 3 days till Christmas. We're festive, we're wet, but we're here.
Oh, Sam.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. You went all out this morning. I mean, dressing nice,
yeah.
Makeup.
Look at these.
Everything. What is that?
These are one of the pairs of the shoes. My aunt sent me a box of shoes.
Oh, how cool.
For Christmas and my birthday.
Uh-huh.
It was. She said, your box is on its way. And so I opened it up. There's a big box. And it was one shoe after another shoe of these really, and I love trampy, gorgeous high heels.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She won't buy me my tramp clothes,
uh-huh.
But she'll buy me like really hot high heels.
I see.
So
okay.
after another, I got all these high heels, and they just kept coming. So I think I like six pairs of shoes.
Really? How cool.
And they're so pretty.
Really?
All of them are so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's funny how women like shoes a lot, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, men don't give a shit about shoes. Couldn't care less.
Well, you would notice them on a woman. You wouldn't think about shoes. Like if I said, look at shoes, or if I said, we need to buy shoes, you don't care. But if you see a woman walking by and she looks pretty, or you'll notice something like, oh, those are nice shoes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Don't you think?
No. I usually don't look down, so I don't see the shoes.
I don't look down.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny, you know? So this morning I'm getting up, getting ready to leave the house, and I'm like so irritated because my glasses, the lenses are all like, you know, blurry and shit. And I'm trying, like I spent 10 minutes trying to clean them, and it just smears it and makes it worse. And there's nothing worse than, you know, having a little film on your glasses where everything's blurry.
Oh, no.
Because it makes me like mental. And I couldn't get it right. Finally, I got a bottle of Windex. I do it that way.
Did it work?
It did work, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like my big fat Greek wedding. He sprayed Windex on everything.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
That was funny, but it does work, let me tell you.
So they're better
but
now?
But I hate glasses, man.
Sometimes my eye makeup remover, it's like an oil base,
uh-huh.
And it'll like sometimes get in my eye,
mm-hmm.
And just a little bit. And like for the first 3 hours afterwards, I really can't see.
Really?
I can see, but it's like I'm like underwater or something.
Really?
I'm like, it's
right
not,
on your eyes, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, it's probably not good for you.
No.
Or maybe it's nourishing. It's
nourishing.
Oil.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if
that.
It's good. I don't know
nourishes
if it's good.
Nourishes the skin, not the eye.
Yeah, that's true. But either way, it's a little bit weird. I'm like, man, I overdid it again and again.
I know.
So, we're close to Christmas, everybody.
Yes, we are, in case you haven't noticed.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I've been in L.A. before during Christmas. Usually I leave, but this is like my second or third L.A. Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally it gets really bare. There's not a lot of traffic. Everybody leaves. You know, you know. So people aren't leaving this much, I don't think.
They're not.
They're like, I'm like, go away.
Still traffic jam.
Go home. Go home. Go. Aren't you supposed to be in Kentucky or wherever the hell you came from? Go back and say hi to mom.
So they're getting in your way.
They're in my way.
Right.
And so yesterday I had to run and get my roommate a present. And she's like my best friend. I have so many close friends, and it's funny because all my friends say this, that I'm very, very close to. They're like, I feel like you're my best friend, but I really don't feel like I'm your best friend. Like, we know that you have a lot of friends that consider you their best friend, and it's actually so humbling, and it's very sweet, and it's beautiful to be considered so close to so many people. But I made a joke with my roommate. I was like, listen, most of my friends think they are number one, but you really are. Don't let this out of the bag. And then I got her the present. I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting many people presents this year.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
So did it mean a lot to her?
It did, because I got her a perfume that she really likes.
Oh, okay.
And I went in there, you guys, and I was like, and I'm a girl. I'm a girly, girly girl. I love makeup. I love fake lashes. I love makeup. I love perfume. I love more makeup. I just love all that stuff.
Right.
So I went into
Do you like makeup, though?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I went into Sephora, which is like just beauty extraordinaire, you know? And it's all decorated cute and this, that, and the other. I was like, just go in there and get her the perfume. Just get her the perfume. Just get her the perfume. Don't buy yourself anything. Get out of the store. Don't even try it on. Stop. Right. So I successfully went in and bought her perfume and left. Now, here's the funny thing. I kept saying, oh, my gosh, I'm getting you a present. You're going to love it, because this is fragrance she's been wanting for a long time.
Oh,
I'm like, you're going to love it. It's going to be so awesome. And I went there to look at the sizes and the cost. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
did you get a sticker shot?
I didn't think it was going to be cheap, but I didn't think it was going to be super expensive. It was like a set was like over $100.
Right.
Then it was like the bottle starts at like 90 something. Mm-hmm. And then it goes down to, I think, 75 and then 55.
Right.
And I was like, damn. And then I saw this, what do you know, this little gift thing that's tiny, mm-hmm. but it comes with a small thing of perfume and a refill. And it actually had quite a bit for the cost. It was only $29, so I got her that one. And I was like, this is just like a step above a sample, actually. I got her like the microscopic version.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure she'll know it's expensive.
She did. So. She's like, oh, you didn't have to do this. And actually, for the cost, it actually was quite a bit. It was quite a bit.
Did you get a lot back?
Yeah, no, I got her a really good deal. So.
Okay. Hold on a second. I think we need to take a quick break here. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
I'm in that mood.
where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Sorry, we had to go and save the world for a few minutes.
It had nothing to do with me having to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. This had nothing to do with the show. I just had to put out a little fire, and but we're back. So thanks for your patience there. So we were talking about the perfume, right?
Yeah, so basically I went in and I built it up. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get you this great gift. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Because I can't keep a secret. I was like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And she's like, is it something that you can use too? I was like, yes, it is. Because she knows me.
Yeah, you'll borrow it.
Yeah.
Use it up before she even gets it.
Well,
a
you know, don't pull any punches or anything. But so I kept building it up. And then I got there. I was like, oh, shit. I said, I'll get her this thing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, it actually is a good deal because it's a little bottle. And then it has like a refill bottle. And it's really cutely wrapped. But it's just, it is tiny though.
Really? Is that like a new fragrance or is it?
It's a very good. I like it. It's called Flower Balm, and it's by Victor and Rolf, and it's.
I hope it doesn't smell like flowers though.
It's a floral scent, but it's kind of got some amber in it, and it's a little bit of a like a warm scent.
You see, I don't know about floral scent on perfumes, you know, especially roses. It smells like fucking you know, like an air freshener or something.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's the way it's incorporated. Like, there's some really great... Stella McCartney has a great fragrance that has rose.
Oh, really?
It's rose, but it doesn't smell... it just smells so fresh, you know? It smells light and sweet.
Yeah, I guess you have to smell it to
What
really
kind of
know,
fragrances
you know?
Do you like?
I don't know, you know? I mean, it's hard for me to say, but all I know is that I don't like flowery ones, you know?
Oh, really?
I associate that with all the women and stuff. They just spray it on and smells like bathroom.
Yeah. Like bathroom.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good bathroom then. My bathroom doesn't smell like that, that's for sure. Yeah. No, I always wonder what guys like. I mean, my fragrance that I had before that I ran out of is Vera Wang, and it's a gorgeous fragrance, and I got a lot of compliments on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, really kind of sophisticated smell.
Yeah.
But
well, there's a lot of new ones. I mean, I can't keep up with all of them, so I don't know, you know? I mean, I know some older ones that I used to.
What does Dina wear?
I have no idea. I don't know what the name of it is. I mean, I can recognize the scent every time.
Do you wear one? What do you? Oh yeah, you wear one. What do you wear?
I wear Gucci. Gucci by Gucci.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I had a boyfriend that never wore cologne. I mean, he never smelled. He had like a. It's like it's interesting because he would use a like a body wash, like a man body wash, and that kind of left a little bit of it. And his deodorant was kind of scented, so it's he smelled really good. But he didn't have like a. Perfume type smell,
right?
And I like a cologne on a man, a good not too much. You don't want him to like bathe in it,
exactly.
But I like a good cologne that you know.
Yeah, I think cologne you should put on enough so someone who's close to you can smell it, but not where you know the whole elevator can smell you.
Yeah. There's some people that just go overboard.
Yeah, and, they lay it on.
And I mean, I used to work at Starbucks, and this lady would come in, and I'd have to hold my breath. I mean, she just, I kind of got used to it, but she would be in line, and it was just like this woo, like bubble around her of just perfume.
I know, it's disgusting, man, and they don't even realize it.
Well, I think what happens is you become kind of desensitized to the scent.
Right.
And you're.
Well, I don't smell it anymore, I know, but it's still on there, you know. I don't have to smell it, you know, to put on half a fucking bottle to be able to smell it. You know, every scent, you know, when you get used to it, you don't smell it anymore. You know, my soap, my shampoo, all these things, I don't smell them anymore. You know, because you're used to it. Only when you change brands or something, you know, then you notice it for a while.
Yeah, but I want to get some new perfume. But I like kind of a musk, but not like... I like a warm kind of scent for, like, the winter. Because it's so wintry out.
Yeah.
But, like, just something kind of like with amber. Have you ever smelled amber?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
I don't know. It's just kind of yummy. It's, like, warm and yummy.
Yeah.
Spicy. It's kind of spicy a bit.
Yeah.
You know.
So I guess you can get a cologne for, or a perfume for someone when you know what they want.
Yeah, I knew that she wanted it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you don't just go and
Pick here, the bitch and I both wanted this perfume.
I see. Okay.
And so we both were like, oh, we love this. We love this. And I was like, I guess I'm getting it for her. That means I can borrow it. But I'm not going to borrow this one because it is microscopic. So.
Yeah, it's small, huh?
But, you know, we're really good friends, and you know, she's just such a good friend, so.
Yeah.
But I'm going to my roommate, not my roommate, my really close friend and her family's.
Yeah, Christmas.
Yes, and so I have to bring a gift for the kid.
Right.
And I gotta do that.
Get her some pajamas or something. Those are usually
I want to get her something that's kind of costumey. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like her aunt. I need to make it crazy and fun. Mm. I want to get her something that's like play clothes, like she could dress up.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's like two.
Two.
Let's get her started.
Yeah, not much you can get for.
No, like get her like an animal, like an animal costume toys. Or a cape or something like that.
Yeah.
Something to play with. Something imaginative. Mm. She doesn't need damn diapers from me or. You know, a rattle.
No, not diapers.
She doesn't need a rattle or like a little headpiece. She needs like imagination stuff.
Okay, so go to Toys R Us and find something there.
I'm going to find like costumes.
Costumes, really?
Yeah, give her some fun
costumes.
I don't
think they understand that at that age.
But kids, you know, little girls, they like to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
And play dress up and stuff like that.
Not at 2 years old. 2 years old is still too young for them to understand that.
She'll get used to it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's what you want, go ahead.
That's what I do
want. I
would
just as soon get her some toy or something where she's going to like it.
What I've learned with kids, too, and especially her age, is that they don't like toys. They'd rather learn than be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather push buttons they shouldn't push, put their fingers in things they shouldn't put their
fingers
in. That's
true.
They'd rather,
you can get
they'd
toys
rather,
with buttons and shit.
They'd rather eat things they shouldn't. They don't like their toys.
Well.
If you've got a cell phone, they want your cell phone. If you've got
no,
keys.
No, that's true. But still, they'll play with their toys.
Barely.
You know? But,
your
but
purse.
Get whatever the hell you want. I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, your purse, they'll get into it and they'll dump it upside down.
Yeah.
And then swim in all the gum wrappers and in coins.
I know. And it's amazing how technologically advanced they are, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get them on Skype, and they can talk to you, have a conversation with you, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love kids, man, but I wouldn't want any young ones now.
Mm-mm.
I'm too old for that.
I would be worried about my kids being on the internet, too, nowadays. It's like you can't go anywhere without there being porn. I mean, honestly, even I think with those child things,
mm-hmm.
that's just something that it's just like a fact of life. It's just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Bombard your kids.
Did you hear about this guy that was arrested for writing a book on pedophilia?
No, yeah, what?
Yeah. He wrote a how-to book.
Who the F does that?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you are an insane pedophile, sorry. Even if you are an insane pedophile, let me just turn it off. Hold on.
Yeah. This pretty much happens daily, so we're used to that by now.
Sorry. But
do you remember when phones used to ring like that?
Golly, this is old style. I got to change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
But Even if you were a psycho,
mm-hmm.
who would out themselves?
Yeah.
So it says how to?
Because he's so crazy, I guess, that he thinks people actually...
But it got published?
I guess, yeah. You know, I mean, probably self-published or something, you know, probably selling it over the internet or something. But
it's called how to? What is it called?
I don't know what it's called, but he was arrested and...
It's like telling people how to get away with it or something?
No, how to do it, probably. How to approach kids and seduce them. I mean, what else would it be? A how-to book on pedophilia. So that's pretty...
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, so... You know, I don't know. I mean, this is like too... You also have to think about freedom of speech and stuff, you know? But at the same time, I mean, this... encourages people to commit a crime, a heinous crime, and so perhaps...
That's the freedom of speech part that's been abused. Like, that to me isn't protected because it's endorsing a criminal act.
Right.
You know?
Plus, you know, they say that the freedom of speech is really from aimed toward the government, not toward things like this, you know? So, in other words, the government can't quiet you for saying what you want to say. But mm-hmm. In this case, you know, this is just like a recipe for a bomb or something.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be legal.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just our basic thing that we can do is called protecting the young. That's yeah. it. And so, you know.
Yeah.
Not cool.
I know. And besides, I'm sure that the people that want to molest kids, I'm sure they already know how. They don't need a book to do that. But...
Gross. So he got arrested. That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to
know.
So
he was arrested in Colorado, but they're trying to extradite him to Florida now.
Why Florida?
Maybe that's where he was from, or maybe that's where he published it.
Interesting, because a friend, well, not a friend, how do I say that? Maybe I shouldn't say this, but there's neighbors that we had
mm-hmm.
that one of the neighbors was caught doing something on the internet. I don't know any of the details, but had yeah. something to do with downloading something.
Yeah.
And was, and it took place, or they were, he was vacationing in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he got caught.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was in jail.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the details. I mean, apparently, you know, he said that he didn't know the age on the it was one of those, like, more teenage type things, which mm-hmm. still isn't good, but...
Yeah.
You know, either way, I'm wondering if Florida has really a strong presence as far as on the internet and in monitoring that kind of stuff.
Who knows? Who knows why? But I guess the book was called The Pedophile's Guide to Love and Pleasure, A Child Lover's Code of Conduct. And so he said it can be used as a guide to rehabilitating pedophiles instead of teaching them how. But it does teach them how to avoid legal action. So he says that he's been entrapped, and this is an entrapment on the part of Florida. But let's see now. I guess he did. I guess he did have it on Amazon, and then they were defending this, and but then they removed it from the website when people were threatening boycotts and shit.
How stupid would you be to put that book up?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, even that's if, the thing, if, you know. I mean, it's not a clear-cut thing, you know, because it is, you know, it does bring into account the freedom of speech, you know. I mean, at least you can discuss it. It's not a clear-cut kind of a thing.
I don't know. If it's done with an intent to...
But you don't know what the intent was. I don't know what the intent was.
I think the
was.
Intent is on the title, right? And you're saying there's probably chapters that say how to avoid criminal action and stuff.
Right, right.
How to this, how to that.
Right.
I mean, I think that's just...
It outlines a code of ethics that shows pedophiles how to look for the most vulnerable children. Now, you know, I mean, that's the thing. When you see a book like this, it's like, we don't really need this. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and for him to profit from something like that, I don't know, you know, so it's... I mean, it's obvious to us, you know, but when you start looking at the legalities of this, I'm not sure what the implications are. But apparently they're going to quiet him down and shut him up for sure.
Ugh.
You know?
Gross. Not interested.
Put him in, throw him in prison and throw away the key or something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's I'm glad to know that, you know, at least it's being taken care of.
Yeah.
So.
I know. That's pretty lousy stuff, you know? I mean, it's... You know, it's just so scary, you know, with the kids out there. And you don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes these pedophiles are people the kids know. And they grow to trust them. You mm-hmm. know, and so that, you know, that's really worrisome.
No, it's very rampant and it's very hidden. It's very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I had a situation happen to me when I was really young. It was mm-hmm. a one-time thing, but it happened in public.
Right.
I was in a public pool.
Really?
Yeah, and
wow.
and it well, it's not like exciting. Wow, it was.
No, you know. No, I mean, I didn't say exciting.
Yeah, but my thing is that it happened in front of tons of adults
really?
And children, and nobody knew it was happening.
Wow.
I didn't really quite know what was going on either, because you know, I was like, what was I like, 4 years old or five?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know until like a year or two later that was like weird and wrong. I knew at the time it was embarrassing and weird, but I
right.
didn't know why, because you're a kid, you know.
Right. Right.
But it happened in pub and. Full view of adults.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They can get away with that? You know?
Well, maybe they didn't know. Like you said, nobody knew.
Oh, no, they didn't know, but it's just, you know, there's a very sneaky, secretive side, and their neighbors, and this was my sister's friend's dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was like, and he was entrusted to watch us at like the pool.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was really... Just creepy.
Wow.
These are people that you just...
It's interesting you remember that, huh?
Oh, yeah, I remember it. I remember it. Yeah, I won't go into it because it's kind of graphic and nasty. But mm-hmm. anyway, yeah, there's just stuff where you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, because you said that they know how to point out kids, I remember how this went down because, see, my sister and her friend were going to with her dad to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't invited. I couldn't go. And I was like a little kid. They were like maybe, I don't know, like 9 years old, 10 years old. And I was about four mm-hmm. or five. And so I didn't get to go. So I didn't have anything to do. So I just went and stood at the pool and just looked.
Yeah.
Like I just stood there and like looked and like, and then, you know, there's like a fence around the pool. So I was just uh-huh. like kind of standing there and like kind of like, this sucks, you know, like just looking at everybody playing in the pool. So I saw him look at me. And I remember all this. I remember I saw
him. Wow, that's amazing you remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, I remember a lot of stuff, but it definitely was, you know, something you don't forget. But I remember he was with them playing in the water, and then he looked at me, and then I remember he said something to my sister, and then she came over to the fence and said, hey, go put on your swimsuit. He said he'll watch you too. So I went and ran and put my swimsuit on, and I came back, and then we were all playing in the pool, and, you know, stuff happened, and, like, he was doing stuff to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
Well.
I mean, you know, it's like, it amazes me, but you know one scary thing is I think almost every girl is, like, exposed to that kind of shit.
I think it's so, so, so common, and it's awful that that's common. You know, it's awful that, I mean, thank God that was the only thing that ever happened to me. You know, I never, it was never a repeated situation or, you know.
But, you know, I mean, you try to figure out what's the attraction there, and I think it's because
it's
the vulnerability of the victim, I think, that attracts them, I think.
Yeah, because you're, I mean, I don't know. I've tried to, I think, like, anytime you try to understand madness, it kind of makes you go mad because you can't understand it completely because it's not healthy. It's not normal. It's not, you know, functional. So you're trying to look at it from your brain at something that's broken, you know, and you're just like, why am I not getting answers? So it's kind of, it's stressful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, they say that sometimes a lot of things are passed down generation to generation, and that, you know, whatever it is that you experienced your first sexual arousal experience that you can remember, and the strength of that experience can kind of dictate, you know, what you like in the
future. Yeah, and that's with everyone. I don't think it's just with the...
No, that's, you're right. That's, you with know, everyone. But if somebody was...
That's why, you know, a lot of sex things are like sort of like infantile, you know? I mean, it's you know, there's no like adult explanation to it. You know, it's just like people are affected by their childhood because that's when we discover sexuality. You know, so these things stay with us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a child, it's the most vulnerable you're ever going to be in your life. I mean, you're learning so much, but you don't, you know, you're not, it's like you're the most vulnerable you're ever going to be. So so much gets in.
Right.
And then as you get older, I mean, obviously you know how to work through stuff, but that stays with you and it's part of your kind of fabric that you work through. But going back to kind of just that sexual conditioning at that age, I mean, for some pedophiles, it's, they were obviously molested, and that's kind of in their appetite now, in a way.
Yeah.
Or they were sexually aroused at a young age with a certain kind of whatever, and that's what they go towards. And I don't know if there's maybe some actual neurological or brain issues going on as well, but my aunt was a social worker for 22 years, and she said the reoffense rate with pedophiles is 99%. It's like rehabilitating them. She said, apart from God, like a miracle, basically, it's like impossible.
There's no rehabilitating them.
Well, that's her opinion and based on her experience.
Right.
I mean, I mean, maybe there's research out there that suggests something else, but that, you know, other than you, they, it's just like a drug and a disease. They want.
Yeah.
And they, like, you know, if you and I get aroused for a woman that's an adult, and me for a man that's an adult, their arousals for children.
Right.
You know, and if you say you think about sex all the time, think about if you were a man that thought about sex all the time, but it was always about kids.
Yeah. Well, you know? That's what I'm saying. You know, something's snapped there along the way.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about,
you know, but you're right. You know, when your first introduction to sex is abuse or molestation, that's what you grow up with, and you end up abusing other kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an excuse.
No, it's not. But it's an explanation.
Mhm. Yeah, and I think that they say the rehabilitation has a lot to do with the age too. Like what age? Like the area of their victims. Like the younger they are, I think it's harder versus if they're more teenage years.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, those are different mindsets.
Yeah. But, you know, it's good that they identify where sex offenders or former sex offenders live, you know, after they're released.
Yeah.
I remember one of the apartment buildings that I was living in a few years ago. Someone put up notices that that such a guy moved into the area, you should have seen how quickly people moved away.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Especially with kids.
You've got kids, you know. You don't want to expose them to something like that.
That is a really, really, really rough kind of situation. Did you see the movie Little Children with Kate Winslet?
No, I did not.
Great movie, but one of the subplots is a gentleman who is a sex offender, a molester, and he's released from prison and he moves back in with his mom. And just how there's these coalitions and these protests, and he's constantly being harassed and to be excommunicated from his community. And you could just see that they make you sympathetic to his character because you see that he just can't get away from it.
Right.
And how he's basically being just completely ostracized. But at the same time, it's like, you know, this is a movie, so you don't know if he's really repentant or if he's really changed or if he really, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's also, are they able to start again and start fresh?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they can, but some people don't want to take the chance.
I don't know.
Like you said, 99% of them relapse.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, you know, I don't hate, I mean, I look at it like, believe it or not, I mean, I think God loves everyone. He doesn't love what we do, but he loves people that, even if they, you know, sin in the most vile ways, which I think pedophilia is probably one of the most vile things you can do on the earth. I know that God still loves them, even though what they're doing is horrific. So in my opinion, it's like, the job at this point, it's not to bash or shame them, but is to protect the young. You have a obligation to guard your children and your vulnerable citizens. And, you know, at that point, you have to take actions to, you know, make sure these people aren't even capable to, you know, do that again,
right.
Ever.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because a lot of these kind of things go hidden. Like, I have people that I know and friends that have been severely, severely sexually abused. And it was just hidden for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And this person came into their adult life and has now been working through it and doing a lot of, you know, therapy and things like that. But this person went on for so long and not accounted for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how many other kids has this guy hurt,
right?
Because no one really
says anything.
Yeah, or they say something and the mom doesn't want to believe them.
Right.
You know, or they say something and you know, it's just such a contagious kind of thing. It's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely there needs to be really, really harsh,
strict,
I mean,
yeah,
strict laws.
You gotta be harsh with them. I think they should be castrated so they don't have any urges anymore. I think.
What is cat? You mean to? You can't remove their penis, right?
Not the penis, the balls. But you can also today.
What's the
there's
balls
a
do?
Today there's like chemical castration where you don't have to, because the balls, that's where all the semen comes from. That's where all the.
But can you get an erection without balls?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, because what we're talking about isn't.
Because that's why they do it. I mean, that's, you know, but there's chemical castration too, so they don't have to physically remove your testicles. But there's something, I guess, that shuts off your sexual system or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a pretty heavy subject. But the thing is that, you know, they ruin people's lives forever. They kill the spirit of the child forever.
Mm.
And, but you know what the funny thing is, when they go to jail and stuff, you know, when you're a child molester, even the prisoners treat you badly.
Yeah.
And but that's funny because, you know, these are murderers and shit, and then they start taking sides and figuring that, yeah, if you molested a kid, you're worse than I am.
Mhm. That's because most of them have children too.
I don't know if that's true.
And
but
it's a debate. It's just a very low. It's a very low. Like, those are the most vulnerable citizens.
But it's vulnerability.
It's just like that they're kids, you know.
Yeah, it's pathetic to even think that way, I think.
What, for you them know? To have any kind of.
Yeah,
moral high ground.
Yeah.
No, it's funny.
Yeah,
it's like, it's kind of like, and this is just more funny. This isn't very true, but it's like my mom, you know, I was talking to her on the phone one day and she's crazy. You know, she's crazy. She's, you know, always been on some some kind of medication, pills and stuff, so it never really sounds right. She sounds like Keith Richards, you know?
Yeah.
But without the accent. Or Ozzy Osbourne, again, without the accent. But she's like, I'm like, hey, Mom, so how are you doing? I'm doing okay, Kara, I'm doing okay. I'm like, how's your mom doing? I guess my grandma. Uh-huh. Well, she gets out of prison in a year. I said, what? I said, I thought grandma got out of prison like 4 years ago. Where the hell have you been, Kara? She went back to prison again, okay? And now she's getting out in a year.
Wow.
I said,
and that's her mother?
That's her mom. And I said, right. What do you mean? Like, how old is she? She goes, she's 66, Kara. Your grandmother is 66 years old. I said, who gets out of the slammer for the second time at 66 years old? I don't know, Kara. Who in the hell does? And my mom starts going off like she's got her stuff together. It's yeah. really hysterical. But, man, I mean.
So this has started generations ago. This is did not start with your mom being a little crazy.
No, it's there's some really crazy stuff, yeah. So, like, my grandma apparently has a crack cocaine issue.
Wow.
And she held up a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Really?
Something like that, yeah. Not lying. I'm telling you, my sister one time on Thanksgiving called me. She goes, Happy Thanksgiving, Kara. Today, Grandma gets out of prison. I was like, what? What'd she do? Well, she held up a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, do they even arrest women that old? Well, 66 is not that old, really.
But no, I mean, it's, you know, yeah. I mean, that's her second time going to prison.
Wow.
For drug use.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got some background, let me tell you.
I guess I do. I mean, I didn't grow up around it, but apparently...
Yeah, you're relatively normal.
I mean, I can compare myself to certain people all day long and feel good. But, yeah. You know, everybody's got some hard stuff, you know?
They do. Everybody does.
But I'm just amazed, like, a grandma going to, you know...
Yeah.
Going to prison.
I know. Every family's got someone crazy in it, you know? It's because family, you don't get to choose.
You don't.
It's not like friends.
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's funny,
though. That's why there's often problems within families. People don't get along. I got to tell you that my immediate family, you know, my parents, my brothers, the best family, really.
Really?
We never fight. We never cheat. You know, we never lie to each other. We never bilk each other out of things, money, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, all this shit you hear in families all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we always get along. Everybody speaks to each other. So that's a cool thing to know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good.
We were just talking about my aunt. She passed away the other day. And, you know, she sort of like didn't leave much behind, you know, as far as legacy. Her kids are like, she doesn't know where they are. And they're not that interested and all that stuff, you know. So you realize that when you come from broken homes, and their home was pretty broken, that everybody suffers greatly.
Mm.
And people turn out to be criminals. They turn out to be, you know, sociopath, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't expect a child to grow in a very volatile environment and come out okay. It's very seldom that you see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you see a lot of yelling and shouting and beating and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, abuse. It's all abuse. Yeah.
Verbal abuse. So, yeah, and that's all they've ever seen, you know. But sure enough, you know, the kids grew up and they're not model citizens, that's for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's kind of sad, you know, when you go and there's not many people around you,
mm-hmm.
and that. But rest in peace, you know. Like my mom said, she's getting to rest finally. So,
you know, it's a really interesting thing. I think about the family, and it's like we live in a very individualistic society. I feel like, specifically Hollywood, and mm-hmm. You know, you see just. It's like my roommate says that she's like, everybody's under the age of 25, it seems like, specifically Hollywood. Everybody's just so young. There's not a lot of different generations, like if you were in different parts of the country. And it's just like the lack of having roots, things like that, and not having or people that come from really broken families. It does something to you because I feel it in myself, but I work on it. But I feel a sense of what does it matter? Like, there's a weird sense of, like, when you're not plugged in and you don't really have that nucleus, that family that's really, like, there every day type thing, or you didn't have that foundation of there every day, there's kind of a weird sense of you're really on your own. So a lot of that, it's kind of like, how does this matter? And on a scale of like affecting, you know, making a family proud or making them disappointed or, you know, mm-hmm. providing for them or not. You know what I mean? There's kind of this real kind of isolated thing that I think that can happen. Now, for me, it's different because it's not different, but I mean, I have a lot of friendships and I have a lot of I have a strong community of friends out here, which help a lot. But I just can imagine if I didn't have that, you know, mm-hmm. if I didn't really have those communities of people that know me deeply and really pour into my life and I can, you know, think about them like family. But that's why they say there's an erosion on the family, an erosion and a kind of a tearing apart of like the family nucleus. And if you think about it, all individuals come from a family of some kind, some sort. You know, mm-hmm. you're born, you're being raised by somebody. Or, right. you know, and that's those formative years that are so important, which then become the person that now is an individual in society.
Right.
And it's just really interesting, you know, having mm-hmm. those. And I've noticed it with people when I talk to people that have a real strong sense of family versus mm-hmm. people that don't have a strong sense of family. It doesn't mean like one's better than the other. It's just you kind of can see certain values sometimes and what people appreciate.
Yeah.
You can kind of see those trends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it really interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you raise kids like that, and you can't expect them to be, like I said, model citizens because there's just too much going on. You know, if a kid has to grow up in foster homes all their childhood and that, mm-hmm. that's going to affect them. It's going to affect
yeah.
them. And it's unfortunate that we have to be afraid to leave our kids with other people, you know, especially people we know. They would turn around and molest them and that.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine, like, having children and, like, how much worry I'd have. Yeah. I cannot imagine. Because, you know, as an adult, and you look at, like, anything can happen. They go spend the night at a friend's house, or they go on a field trip, or
right.
they play outside, or whatever, you know. They go to school, or just the constant, you know,
mm-hmm.
constant wanting to guard and protect your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so interesting how it could just easily just something happen to them.
Yeah, yeah. And then they grow older and you really want to help, but you can't, you know. Mm-hmm. Like my son, his girlfriend broke up with him again.
Again?
Yeah,
they got back
again.
Together and they broke up?
And this is after she said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm so sorry I did that. Blah,
oh,
blah,
really?
Blah. She dumps him again and he's down.
Aww.
He's down.
Aww.
And I don't know what to do for him. It's like you try to explain to him, look, it's just a girl. There's not a lot of girls out there. But then you remember when you were that old.
Well, it was
how
special
it affected
to him.
You.
That
yeah.
was his first girlfriend, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Very special.
Yeah. And I think he's in love with the idea that he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know? So, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, he's really down.
Aww.
You know?
Can you take him out to a movie or something?
That's not going to help. He needs to spend time with his friends, which he does. You know, and that sort of distracts him, I think. And,
yeah.
And he probably listens to them more than he listens to his parents.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's hard to see him suffer like that.
Aww.
He's really down and depressed and that.
Well, go take him to do some guy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Go play pool. I don't know. What do guys do?
Play pool.
Darts. Go take him. I mean, I would say movie and dinner because I love that stuff. But
yeah, we used to do a lot of things together. We used to go Segwaying together.
What's Segway?
On the Segway. You don't know what the Segway is? Those personal.
Oh, those little personal things with the wheels. You guys should go do that again.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, it's expensive to rent them, but they're a lot of fun. Let me tell you. You feel like a nerd on them. but there's nothing like it, man. You cover long distances without having to really work hard. And it's cool, you know.
Really
it
like
even
that.
Takes you uphill with little effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can rent him like in Santa Monica.
Yeah. So how old is he? 17?
He's 17 and a half already, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got one more semester and he's off to college.
Where is he going to go?
I don't know. He's not sure yet. But
well, sounds
somewhere
like community
not
college.
Too far.
Yeah, sounds like community
no,
college.
No, no, it's probably going to be university, but nothing too far. Probably in the state.
Yeah, but if it's like, if you only got one more semester to go and you haven't already applied, he's probably...
No, he's applied.
Oh, he has. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. So somewhere in the state.
Yeah.
Are you paying for it?
Yeah, naturally.
naturally.
Yeah.
What a good dad you are. That's sweet, though.
What do you mean a good dad? You have to. I mean, what are you going to do? Not pay for their college?
Mine didn't. Nobody did.
Yeah.
I was like, screw college. No, I just went to a semester. I mean, a couple semesters.
Yeah.
And I was like, screw this. I want to be a star.
Yeah, there you go. Fuck school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go to Hollywood.
Which is what I did. I did literally like a year after high school.
Yeah.
Packed up the goldfish.
Yeah.
Bought a car for $150. Broke down in El Paso.
I'm sure. What do you expect from $150?
No, car? It was just a flat tire.
Oh, really?
Yep. And then I had the car for like 3 years after that.
Wow.
Mhm.
$150?
Yep.
Wow. What kind of a car was it?
It was like a Toyota. Those things are badass. Those are the best cars.
Wow.
You know?
I'd be afraid to drive, I mean, even down the street with a car like that.
You know, listen, you drive when you're that age and you have nothing but dreams and hope. It's like, and I still have all that, but it's like I had a lot of naivete.
Right.
Which I think God used to get me out here. Because if I'd have known what I was walking into, I wouldn't have come.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have waited a long time.
Yeah.
I think it was good for me because I did a lot of growing. I got my ass kicked by life, like hardcore.
Yeah.
And, you know,
life will do that to you when you don't play by the rules.
It's really weird. It's really weird too, having moved away at such a young age and not just to like a different place, but like a huge ass city that eats people up. And you move here really young. And then I go back home to see friends or family or whatever. And even my brother, I'm like, they don't have any clue half the experiences I've been through.
Yeah.
Whereas I know the experiences he's been through.
Yeah, but they're probably happy too. I think they're...
Oh, no, they're happy. They're content. I'm just saying there's kind of a sense of, like, you know, sometimes you see people trying to go, trying to size up you.
Mm-hmm.
Like my brother does a lot, which cracks me up. But he wouldn't have been able to do what I did.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, it's in the personality.
It's like
you
moved when you were like, what, 16 years old?
16,
and then
right.
You've, ever since then, you've, you know, kind of done your own thing.
Right.
And you know what it's like going from your home and your land to someplace that you're a foreigner and
right.
you have to learn the language. And all those having to like figure everything out and swim upstream on all those basic levels is very similar to what it's like when you're very young moving to a huge city.
Yeah, it makes you grow.
Yeah, you have to figure out. I mean, I've had my car towed a bunch of times. I didn't have any money. Had to get a job. Three of us were sharing a studio apartment. One of the roommates went crazy and deflated our air mattresses. You know, I mean, I had to learn. You just, there's so much you had to like get strong quick,
right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And there, when I go home and I talk to, you know, some friends and family, I'm just like, they just don't, and they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Wow.
Not that it's better. It's just a not relatability.
Right.
It's like a lack of relatability.
Hmm.
Like one of my friends was like, yeah, you just really developed an edge. You've just got this edge now. And I'm like, well, you know, we're not all supposed to be laid back hippies.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, and where I live, you do need an edge.
Hmm.
You need to have some quick smarts and some edge.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is last night they were saying on the news, the rain's going to end at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And sure enough, it ended at 10 this morning.
Oh, did it?
Now, that's pretty good. Yeah, there's no more. I think the sun's coming out now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're expecting more thunderstorms this evening. But for now, I think the rain's taking a break. So, okay, well, everybody go back to the stores. Do your shopping. And we're going to keep you entertained here, so we'll be back here tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.